This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's like we're stuck in neutral.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us for the morning open, a look at the broader economy as we start the business day. We're about 20 minutes into trading, and there's lots to talk about. Anemic spending continues. The unemployment line grows just a little longer. And how do you say recovery in German? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know the answer to this. Where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now, barely. The S&P 500 up about a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ pretty much flat, up about 0.03%. The Dow pretty much flat as well. European shares higher right now. The German DAX is up more than a percent. Asian markets were up today as well. Japanese shares added about 0.75%. Department store Kohl's today reported a 3% dip in its profit for its second quarter. And we learned from the Commerce Department this morning that retail sales were basically flat for July, down 0.1%. Analysts were expecting a small rise. That was a bit of a surprise. Let's get one take on that report. Bill Stone is Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He's joining us live this morning from Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
All right. Disappointing retail sales. I thought the cash for clunkers people were buying a lot of cars. You got the Federal Reserve telling us that we're out of intensive care, but it looks like, sure looks like to me that we're still with high blood pressure here.
I think you're right. You know, the one thing we can say is the cash flow clunkers did work in the sense that we know auto sales were up 2.4%. I guess the downside is it seemed to steal sales from somewhere else.
First-time jobless claims, Bill, unexpectedly rose last week. How do you jibe thoughts of an economic recovery when companies aren't finished shedding jobs?
Well, I think one thing we know is at least we can still say the pace of decline is getting a little bit slower. So kind of it's a classic signal that you're getting to the end of a recession when you see less initial jobless claims. We're off the peak there. I think you can take at least some solace in the continuing claims being down significantly lower.
So we keep hearing that less bad scenario, right?
Exactly. And I think that's why when you look at the Fed statement, they were only willing to say that the economy was leveling out.
Hey, and quickly, let's talk about Europe this morning and its economic health. Germany and France reported some growth in their GDP. What are they doing there that we're not doing here?
Well, they were helped by some exports, but I think it's probably more of it was just slight growth, and I think it's more of a timing issue. We do expect some good growth out of the United States here in the third quarter, actually.
All right. Bill Stone, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Kenneth Feinberg is the government's new executive pay guy, and things are about to get pretty busy for him. See, he's in charge of looking at how much bigwigs make at companies that have bailed out or have been bailed out by the government. And today's the deadline for those companies to submit their pay packages. What Feinberg decides could change some rules, Melissa Roth explains.
The government will have to approve pay packages for the big cheeses at Citigroup, Bank of America, and GM, among others. Mark Borges is a compensation consultant at Compensia. He says he expects some negotiation on the proposed packages.
We'll see the government attempt to exert some influence, at least directionally, in the programs, but I don't think that the government is going to want to dictate all of the details.
But the administration would like to see these decisions be a guide on executive pay for other firms. Andrew Oranger works on pay issues at the law firm Ropes & Gray. He says companies know people are upset about executive pay. At the same time, he says,
I don't think that there is some kind of abject capitulation to the notion that we are no longer in a position to pay our executives appropriately and competitively.
He says companies still want to be able to set their own standards and pay, no matter what the government says. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Today, China said it may challenge that big World Trade Organization decision that came down. Yesterday, the WTO cited the country for improperly limiting trade in foreign movies, music, and books. The United States charged China was violating free trade rules by forcing importers to route businesses through Chinese state-owned companies. Beijing insists it does not mess with imports. Listening to The Morning Report for Thursday, August 13th, 2009 at Marketplace.org. You know, during the housing boom, home builders put defective drywall in homes in 23 states. The tainted drywall rusts metal, emits a foul odor, and can cause headaches. But prosecuting its manufacturer in China has been a jurisdictional nightmare. There's a new bill in the Senate that might make it easier. From Miami, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Under current law, it's expensive and time-consuming to establish jurisdiction when suing a foreign manufacturer. So in many cases, lawsuits are filed against the U.S. distributors instead. Professor Louise Ellen Teitz is with the Roger Williams University School of Law.
There's the home builder and all these other domestic parties, and they're the ones who get stuck.
The Senate bill would make it faster and easier to bring foreign companies before an American court. Tom Gowan is an attorney who specializes in international product liability claims.
You've had the lead paint on toys, you had the Chinese drywall situation now, and you know that it's going to keep happening just because of the volume of commerce that's being done.
Gowan says imports to the U.S. have doubled in recent years, and they're expected to double again. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Some big names in the food industry are calling on the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, to help with the pending sugar shortage. Tamara Keith has more.
Krispy Kreme, Hershey, and the American Bakers Association want to make sure we can all keep getting sugar highs without paying higher prices. Nearly two dozen names in the food and candy business are warning of dire consequences if the U.S. doesn't increase sugar import quotas. In a letter sent to the agriculture secretary, they say consumers will pay more and manufacturing jobs will be at risk without prompt action. Sugar prices are at record highs around the world, thanks to a combination of weather problems, ethanol production, and commodity speculation. The letter complains restrictive import quotas are creating a sugar shortage in the U.S. But the Wall Street Journal reports American cane and sugar beet farmers are pushing back, saying increasing imports will only hurt them and likely won't help consumers. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Students going to college in the fall are starting to reach out to future dorm mates, and that means creating some new traditions. Youth Radio's Asha Richardson reports.
Amanda Thompson found out she got into Mills College last fall. Mills is a small, all-women's school in Oakland, California. And Amanda's joy quickly turned into a job.
I was really excited because it was my top choice, so I decided that I should probably join a Facebook group dedicated to the class of 2013. And when I searched, there wasn't one, so I figured, well, who better to start a Facebook group than yours truly?
I'm going to Mills, too, and I did the exact same thing. I immediately joined Amanda's Mills College 2013 group, so I have dozens and dozens of my classmates. Ashley Battle is my admissions counselor at Mills, and she says the site merely continues online but started on campus at pre-frosh visits.
Students meet here and they say, oh, let's keep in touch. Oh, you're in Texas. Oh, you're in Arizona. Oh, you're in New York. Oh, I'm not going to see you till August. Well, Facebook me.
But there's more to the Mills 2013 group than just making virtual friends. It's changing the business of admissions at Mills. Now counselors can keep track of students with a personal touch, and they don't have to spend any money doing it.
we kind of will peek and say, okay, well, who's joining the group? Does that mean that they'll be depositing later on and they haven't told us yet?
That peeking has been useful, at least for Battle. In her office, she was the first to persuade a student to come to Mills online.
Her status update said she was choosing between Mills and another school. And I wrote her a very long Facebook message about why she should choose Mills. 2 days later, she was like, I'm coming. I was like, yes.
But we haven't been swept up by the technology completely. The Mills Facebook group did do something old-fashioned last month. We mailed handwritten letters to each other. A more traditional way to say hello. In Oakland, I'm Asha Richardson for Marketplace.
Asha's story was produced by Youth Radio. Bankrupt Frontier Airlines is being auctioned off right now. Today, as a matter of fact, the Denver-based low-cost carrier was expected to be bought by the regional airline Republic. But Southwest is now likely to want Frontier, and that's a move that would raise some eyebrows all across the airline industry. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
First and foremost, the acquisition would set up a big contest in Denver. The Mile High City is one of United's main hubs, and according to SH&E aviation consultant Webster O'Brien,
in Denver, Southwest will pull to parity with United.
Southwest will also get its first international routes to Mexico and Costa Rica if its bid for Frontier is successful. And it'll get access to Frontier's other U.S. markets, including Atlanta, home to the busiest airport in the world.
What it means is that you're picking up the expertise and you're picking up the ground presence and you're picking up the sales distribution. Many of the things that take time and expense to build up on your own.
Southwest used to be seen as the scrappy niche player in the airline business. But Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly says these days it's playing with the big dogs and maybe even beating them at their own game.
You know, Southwest is an airline that adapts very well to a changing marketplace. A lot of the things that they've done right over the years have put them in a position to do this.
And knocking off a low-cost competitor may be a particularly good move right now. Southwest CEO told an industry conference yesterday that ticket prices are going to have to go up soon to cover costs. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Finally, how about buying a TV for $9.99? That's $9.99 for a 52-inch Samsung flat screen. Best Buy says, yeah, good luck with that. The electronics retailer says the ultra-cheap price on its website yesterday morning was an online mistake and it won't honor it. But tweeters and bloggers went crazy over it, messaging one another, joking about it. After a few hours, the price was adjusted to $17.99. No word on whether the web guy who got the number wrong had his price posting privileges taken away. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.